It's so much harder to be short, but it is such a gift to our readers and to our recipients and to our church family to be able to just to give them back their time.
Hey, we need to talk.
Welcome to the Church Communications Group podcast, where we help church leaders find clarity, confidence, and connection in their communications. I'm Kim, General Manager of the Church Communications Group, joined by my co-host and friend, Zach.
Every Tuesday, we'll bring you fresh insights on what's happening in church communications. We promise to keep it real around here. Expect authentic conversations, practical advice, and definitely a few laughs along the way.
In each episode, we'll also share a valuable resource to help you grow in your church communications, leadership skills, and honestly, just life as well. So whether you're a seasoned communications director or just starting out, there is something here for you.
Now, get ready to learn, grow, and connect as we open up the conversation in today's episode of Hey, We Need to Talk.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hey, We Need to Talk. And I'm Kim.
And I'm Zach. And today we have my most excited guest. This is a bonus episode for those listening. And I have been asking for this for, months.
Since
I've learned the word smart brevity.
Since we purchased the book and read the first chapter.
I never read the first chapter. It's too long.
That's why we have
Claire Thurman with us, who is going to talk about smart brevity, because to me, the book is too long. And so a 15-minute podcast and a conversation with Claire is all that I need. So Claire, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do?
Yes. Hey, Frank. Fam, church fam. My name is Claire. I am the communications director for a relatively large church in the North Dallas area. My background is in marketing and communications, public relations. I spent 10 years in the corporate world in the marketing side of things before making the jump into vocational ministry with my home church, which I've been at with my family for the last 13 years. So being on staff has been incredibly fun. I am in my sweet spot in my role as comms director. I absolutely love what I do. And it has been a super fun journey over the last really 2 years as we've worked to embrace the principles of smart brevity, which I can't wait to tell you more about, and just kind of move our ship and align our ship. What's the word I'm supposed to say? Turn the ship, if you will. In the direction of just kind of trying to be clearer for our audiences and kind of get our messages communicated in a more effective way for our people. So it's been really fun. So I love it.
Yes.
And just some context of Claire and the church that she works at. In some of our other episodes where we talked about social media, we've talked about Crescent Trail Community Church, specifically their YouTube channel, and how they have a incredible YouTube platform where they're answering life's hard questions and even having conversations that they may not be having on stage.
Yes.
So Claire is the one apart and leading that incredible team that you have already been in contact with and have hopefully dove into their YouTube channel.
So true. And if you didn't notice, Claire actually didn't say the church name. So you just dropped a bomb right there because she was probably like, I'm not going to say the name because I don't want a bunch of stalkers, but now you all can stalk her.
So feel free to stalk us. Follow us on Instagram.
We'll help
us with the algorithms. We all could use the help, right?
Claire is from Beep Church.
Yeah.
This is great. And speaking of smart brevity, before we get into it though, one of the things that I super love about Preston Trail is the creativity behind some of the things that you guys do. You guys just had or are having the Balloon Glow. Tell us about the Balloon Glow event.
Yeah, so we just had that last Saturday, and this was an event that was actually born out of COVID. We were sitting around thinking, okay, here's all these people that we're trying to connect with. We're trying to reach this community that is desperately in need of relationship and needing that human connection. But we can't do that because we can't be inside, and people are not comfortable with so many different elements of normal church life, even though at the time, our buildings had reopened and things were slowly starting to come back to normal here in Texas where we live. We needed to figure out what do we do this? How do we serve our community in this way? And so we were sitting around a table and somebody was like, well, what if we just had a hot air balloon glow where they don't go up in the air or anything. But we just invite the community. We have food trucks and yard games. And, that's kind of where the idea was born. And we just had our fourth balloon glow. It gets bigger and bigger every year. Our area is a huge like beautiful climate for hot air balloons. Like literally you can walk outside my front door almost any morning and there's a hot air balloon going by. So it was like just a really great way to reach our community, connect our community. It's been absolutely incredible. We had almost 7,000 people from our community descend on our campus this past weekend, and it's completely free. We just want it to be a resource and a way for people to get to feel the warm welcome of our church. Mm-hmm. And it's been incredible. It was so great. We don't promote this, like other than like us trying to get the word out. Yeah. We don't reach out to news stations. We don't like ask people to come and like make our name more famous or anything like that, really, in regard to the hosting this event. We had so many people reach out to us like with stories that they had just written because they wanted to share this with people who are still looking for places to do fun things with their family and create these beautiful memories. So it was a really, really great event. Thank you so much for asking.
Yes. No, I love it. And I think it's something that churches can take that example and go like, let's do something that's creative and different. Let's look at our community and what our community could handle or our community would love to enjoy participating. I mean, yeah. 7,000 people coming into like onto your church parking lot, into your land, into your area, 7,000. That doesn't mean 7,000 of them are going to show up on Sunday, but they made that first step and they arrived at the church. And that is a big win. And so yes. I kind of go, this is comfortable. This is free. I might want to check this out on a weekend or, you know, a year from now when they go, should we go to church sometime? Remember that church where we went to that balloon thing and it's going to connect them back. So I think it's genius. And
thank you. Oh, I have two other great ideas that like things that we have, one that we've done and one that I think we're hoping to do. We have seen huge success. We have a free indoor playground too. That yes. we promote the heck out of that. It's yeah. not like, and we're not there to like Jesus juke people while they're there. There's no bait and switch. It literally is. Here's an indoor playground where you can get out of the Texas heat, come and just, it's a safe place for you and your little ones to come and play. And, you know, you can bring food in. It's just, it's been such a great resource and way to serve our community without this like idea that they're going to be tricked into being part of church. Like that's like, we don't want to do that. We want people to feel like the church is a safe place and we just want to be here for them. We want to serve them and meet them wherever they are. And so that's been a huge win for us. We're so thankful that we have that space that we can promote. And then one thing that we're doing, I was watching on our moms groups last spring, I guess, and looking at like, okay, what are people asking for and needing in the community. And I don't know about you guys, we do a lot of really weird things in Texas. I'm sure you've heard about our homecoming moms and like weird stuff like that. But blue bonnets are a huge thing.
Yes.
And like, I don't know, but like, I literally have a picture. I should send it to you so you could be like, ding, for this video of like, my mom would take us to go sit on the side of the highway to take pictures in the blue bonnets. It's a thing. I don't know if you guys do about this, but it's a huge thing. People are always like, where are their blue bonnets? Because we want to go take our family photos. And so this year we're going to be planting our unused field space with wildflowers and blue bonnets so that we can say, hey, come by our campus and take pictures. Like, again, nothing that is, we don't benefit from this in any way. It's not meant, it's really just wanting to be a place where we can say, hey, we're here to serve you. You don't have to drive out 30 minutes or stop on the side of the highway, which is, I think, pretty
right.
But like you can come to the safe place and do something that's exclusively for your family. And so we're excited to get to do that. And hopefully I'll be able to send you a picture of what it looks like on our beautiful campus.
That is
next spring.
Are these flowers? I don't know what a blue bonnet is.
It's a state flower of Texas. Zach. Where have you been living under a rock?
Yeah, I was thinking like an Amish
bonnet.
No, it's probably not that. You need, next time you guys are here doing your tour, your road show, you will have to get like some like
bonnet.
Like bonnet. We're going to have to stop on the side
like
of the
glamour boat. Shots. Imagine glamour shots, but like you're just in a field and there's potentially like bugs and snakes and stuff, but like it's going to be beautiful and your mother's going to be very happy with you.
Oh, yay. Bugs and snakes. That's what we look forward to on these road shows.
We will be taking care of that. We have a great landscaping company.
We are on our road show. We had a road show yesterday. We are also doing a church visit this weekend. And so we're out and about. So we get to be in person.
Yeah.
Hi, Vibe.
And this is the last one of 2024. And then coming in the end of January is when we are actually starting our 2025 season in Baltimore and Hartford, Connecticut.
Yes.
Tickets are on sale.
They are already up and rolling.
So you come and see us all across the city.
It's really exciting.
We're going like 14 to 16 locations next year. So that's going to be funsies. Give us like a highlight. Give us a smart brevity highlight of what the, now we're talking about the book. There is a book, but ultimately there is the idea of being of brevity, bottom line. But the book, Smart Brevity, yes, you have it there, which is awesome. Give us like a highlight of what this is all about.
Yes, I would love to do that. So the sad reality is almost nobody is listening to what you're saying as a communicator. I know that sounds like deeply troubling, but like we all innately like know this, right? Like I have personally been the victim of my kids' school emails. Like they're incredibly lengthy and there's like 17 of them and everything's important. And I just don't like, I don't have time to do this. And like even companies are catching on to this, right? Like with the new Apple updates, right? You now can get a very brief AI generated summary of what's in this email to help give you your time back and decide if it's worth you to even spend your time digging into this. And so Smart Brevity is really a antidote to this problem that we're all experiencing. It's like, I've been telling people about these events. I'm doing posters and we've got graphics and social media posts and all of this stuff and nobody's signing up. How are they not hearing about this? And it's really because our audience is just drowning in content and they're drowning in noise. And we, as comms offices, are trying to manage this tension between having the most important message that anybody could ever have, which is the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel and ways that we can help them take their next step on their journey of finding and following Jesus. We have this incredible new message and we have this tension that our audiences are tuning us out because there's just so much noise. We live in the most information heavy time in history than ever. And we haven't, as a society, figured out how to navigate that, how to handle that. And so Smart Brevity steps in with this framework to help us say more with less. It's really just being really crisp and clear with our communication. I think some interesting stats that I think are really sad is that even if somebody chooses, I'm going to read this email, I'm going to read this, they're likely to only spend an average of 26 seconds on that newsletter that you slaved over for 3 hours or on the bulletin in church that you're printing and passing out each and every week, like 26 seconds on a piece of written content. And it gets even better from there. They're going to spend 15 seconds on that webpage that you built. Our Balloon Glow webpage. People, we had a whole thing, FAQs, all great information, resources. They are skimming that in about 15 seconds.
Yes.
An email. 9 seconds. 9 seconds on an email. So we are spending a disproportionate amount of time on content that's never getting absorbed because people are skimming and scanning. And so if we don't do the work of making it easier for people to receive what we're trying to say, they're going to keep tuning us out. And that's incredibly tragic because our message is the most important and most wonderful news that we have to offer the world. And we have to do a better job of stewarding our audiences. And so Smart Brevity provides a really great framework for that. I will caveat this with anybody. I do think that the book is worth reading. It's not something that you want to listen to on audiobook because so much of our communication is visual. And a lot of this book talks about breaking up your content in ways that your audience can absorb it really, really quickly. And so there are some visual tools that we can do to help that. So please get it, read it. I am not like social media influencer here where like, here's my code and like, I'm going to get kickbacks. No, I am drinking the Smart Brevity Kool-Aid because we found it to be such an incredible tool for our church and for our offices to be able to help our ministries provide that kind of clarity. It is not a church book. I'm going to add that big asterisk here. There's a little bit of spice in here. It's not bad spice. But if you're like giving this to your 75-year-old Baptist pastor, you might want to just give him the Cliff Notes. It's great.
Or like grab a marker and like, you know.
Yeah, just like we're going to see things out. Like there's a couple things, but it's really not that. It is a great resource. I believe all truth is God's truth. And we can learn a lot from the corporate world as much as they can learn from what we're doing in the church and nonprofit spaces. So. Yeah.
Claire, so knowing that the book is not overtly a Christian book, and people may be asking themselves, okay, so what information that we're putting into our emails, even like what we're trying to communicate with events, what is the important information and what's the fluff that we should be taking out?
Yeah.
Yes. I think when we started applying this, this was our biggest challenge is we've been taught that we have to include vision every time you get, because people are not going to do the thing unless they understand the why. And that is true. However, most of the time we are communicating with people that are already bought into our mission, vision, values. They're hearing it from stage in huddles. They're hearing it because their kids are getting it in their Sunday classrooms. Like people are hearing it. So we don't need to spend as much time writing out our why in paragraph form. It's likely they're not reading it anyway. So we need to figure out ways to be short but not shallow with our content, to include vision in a really crisp and clear way so that way people are like, yep, I get it. That's why we're doing the thing. We're just tapping into that same message that we are leaking constantly so that people can get more quickly to the, what do you need from me? Because at the end of the day, that's what they want to know. What's the one big thing you need somebody to know? The one clear call to action you want them to take, and making it really clear and upfront. I can give you, sometimes it's easier to know like what not to do than it is to know what to do. One of our ministries had a wonderful, wonderful, amazing conference where students were making decisions for Jesus, giving their life to Jesus, and like what a huge win. And so afterwards they're wanting to send emails to all their parents and saying, hey, like way to go, thank you for sending them to this conference because it's dramatically influenced their life. Well, the draft that they sent us was like, okay, it said, we are so excited that your student joined us for this incredible, amazing weekend. It was so life-changing. We had such great time and da-da-da-da-da. And by the way, your student accepted Jesus for the first time and we want you to come to this class to help them take a next step. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. We have just buried the most important information about three sentences into this paragraph. Like the most important thing here is that your student accepted Jesus for the first time. And it's likely, I mean, I don't know about you, but teenagers aren't the most effective communicators. It's not likely they went home and been like, hey mom, I had this great conference and my life was dramatically changed.
It was fine.
Right. Like they're like, oh, it's fine. Like, yeah, great. Whatever. Like we have to, like that information should be big and bold and the very first thing that someone sees so that we can be like, hey, you may not know this. Now that you know this, here's what we can do to help partner with you now that you have this information and here's the next step. And in that next step, if you take it, we're going to give you more vision and more information about why it's important to continue partnering with us. But we have to grab them with that headline. We have to be incredibly concise with this one big thing that we want them to know and need them to do. And so we can be better stewards of our audience's time by just using as few words as humanly possible to get our point across. You know, there's a quote by Mark Twain that is in this book that I have come to love. And it says, I didn't have time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one instead. And we are so guilty of that, right? Like,
it's
so much harder to be short, but it is such a gift to our readers and to our recipients and to our church family to be able to just to give them back their time.
Yeah. And coming from a pastoral perspective, like my job when I was pastoring was the vision and making sure that everything that I was communicating as a pastor was communicating the vision. Yeah. That's not necessarily the communication director's job. It's to lead people to be able to hear the pastor who communicates that vision there. So when we're trying to throw in that vision, like what you're saying, what it does is buries the exact way that they are going to get the vision from the source, which is the pastor. So I love that idea of like, let's cut it down. Let's get them to the information. So, and let's get them there so the why can be answered.
Yeah.
That's good. And I will say one thing. Sorry, Kim, to cut you off. I think that there is absolutely a time and place for vision, but it's very rarely in a 3-paragraph email.
Yeah.
We've shared with our ministries, if you feel really passionate about communicating the vision behind a decision, behind something you want something to do, throw it into a video. Give people the ability to go deeper with a link or with, hey, here, read more about this. Give them the option to do that, but make it their choice. If you force them to do the work, they're likely not going to do it.
Yes, yeah. That's so true. Yeah, like when I think about the email situation, right? You're saying 9 seconds email, right? But most churches, most people are evaluating their emails by open rate. Just because they opened does not mean that they're reading, right? And so many of churches are going, well, our open rate is 50%, 70%. Yeah, but are they engaging the content that is there? Are you capturing that moment? Yes, it is probably 9 seconds right now because they're opening it and going, nope, and then they're closing it, right? Mm-hmm. That like, what are we doing to capture that moment to say your student had life change? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay. Let me see a little bit more because now you've captured my attention. You've captured my excitement behind something and making sure that we are leading with that engaging piece and not just looking at the open rates, but looking at are people literally actually reading or investing or watching the video or whatever of our emails. So what have you guys done to kind of adjust that within your own systems, you know, at the church?
Yes. So we provide, I love data. I'm a big nerd. And surprising nobody else on this podcast at the moment. We try to have a trackable data element in almost everything that we send. All of our QR codes are trackable links, so that way we can see, was this an effective form of communication? That has led us to actually decide to stop sending postcard mailers for certain things because we found that that's not what people are using to take action. If I stick that same information on a sticker and slap it on a kid, I mean, don't slap. Sorry. We're going to have to edit this out. On a kid on Sundays with a QR code, they'll scan those because like I'm making it like I had to rip it off or else it goes in the washer and that shirt's ruined forever. Right. But it's allowed us to be more strategic with where we're placing our communications and what we're doing. So all of our QR codes are trackable. All of our emails, again, we try really hard to get away with just one call to action. That's not always what we're able to do, but that's our goal, right? Our host moments from stage, it's one clear call to action. We greet guests, we give them a next step, and we say, hey, if you're part of a Preston Trail family, or if you're wanting to take a next step with us in some way, here's how you do that. And we give them one clear way to take that action, and it's trackable. So that way we can say, you know what? Yeah, we sent this email that had a link to a video in it. We had a 70% open rate, which is fantastic. Way to go, us. Yeah. Our click rate on that was only 16%. Let's go see now to that YouTube video. How many people watch that YouTube video? Okay, well, of that percent, only 80% of those people actually started watching the video. And then they just dropped off from there. And we ended up with only 2 people who actually clicked the call to action at the end of the video.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I have information that tells me that was super not effective for us, right? There has to be a better way to do that in the future. And I'm actually in a spot where I have senior pastors and leadership that love data. And if I'm going to come to them with an idea, I need to be able to back it up with like, here's the reason why we're doing this. And so that helps me earn trust with my leaders over time to be able to come back and say, I think we should try this in a different way. And that's been really cool to be able to influence change. I think one of the common problems we hear in the comms world is like, I can't get my leaders to like listen to me and like trust my expertise. Data to me, I think, especially people that are in executive pastor seats, people that have been in senior pastor seats for a long period of time and are kind of like, feel like they're kind of stuck in their ways. Data is going to be a helpful tool for you.
100%. Like you bring that data to an executive pastor, a lead pastor, and they have no argument. But when you walk over and you say, hey, I don't think we should be sending our emails anymore, they're like,
excuse me? What? Like, I'm sorry.
Like, yeah. I write a letter to the church every month and you don't think I should be writing that letter? No, nobody's reading it. You know?
Yeah.
It's the same thing we say about blogs. Like, honestly, people aren't reading blogs nowadays. Blogs, now I'm not telling anybody to stop doing blogs because again, We say this all the time. It is great SEO. So doing the blog, posting it to your website and all that, great SEO. It's pulling people in. It's got keywords, that great, fabulous, fun stuff. But people aren't actually reading blogs. Why? Because it's just like books, right? We're writing like so much stuff. There's so much information in there. But if you post a blog, that's like one paragraph or just a couple of sentences that like grabs you and you're like, yes, that's not helping with SEO.
Right. And like you can take these tools and just like, it's not that any of these one thing, not like any of it's bad. It's not bad to use. They're all just tools in your toolbox. And you just have to figure out as a communicator, what is effective for our church and for our office to be spending our time on. So yes, blogs are still highly effective for SEO tools, but we are utilizing the power of AI to take that off our plate. So like we can just push it out there, make it available, and make sure it's in our voice. Yes, absolutely. But I'm not spending my time, you know, slaving over this thing that likely nobody is going to really care about at the end of the day. It's going to result in a next step for very few people. It's still effective. It's still worth doing, but how much time are we allocating to it? And hopefully applying Smart Brevity over time, applying the strategic decisioning around what's working and what's not helps free up your time to focus on things that move your mission forward, right?
We always love to, with our audience, with our watchers, our listeners, be able to give them action steps, right? And so if they, let's just say they don't read the book. If they don't read the book, but you're like, here are three things you can walk away with today, two or three things that you can walk away with today and implement within your church community in order to start being more, to allow more brevity into what you are doing, what would be those things?
Yes. So I would say the first thing that you probably need to do is get your leaders and your ministries on board and give them a heads up about what you're doing, because people are so passionate about their words. They are so passionate about what they want to say and how they want to say it. It's a creative outlet for many people. And so if you start taking, hey, here our discipleship ministry wants to send this email out and it's come to your office to kind of review and facilitate getting that communication out, and you just, if you butcher it, they're going to be like, excuse me, like, what? Who do you think you are? So it is really important to get your leaders on board with like, hey, we're going to try something new, because the data would tell us that people aren't really looking at what we're writing and they're not reading it. So we want to try some new things and especially if you've got a ministry that's like super open to this. For us, it was our finance ministry. Like, who'd have thought, right? They're like, yeah, we don't care. Whatever we think we can get our people reading their statements and our giving stories better, like whatever we can do, like, let's try it. So we were able to pilot this with a ministry for a while and kind of show people what it was going to look like. I think giving them examples of like, here's what you've sent me, here's how I would do it if we've completely applied these principles and pared it down. And most of the time we meet in the middle somewhere, right? Like, they are still very passionate about, no, I really felt like we needed to say that statement. And so, okay, let's figure out how to do that. So ministry alignment is incredibly important, or else you're going to create tension. And we don't want that, right? Unity in the church is what we're always trying to pursue. So I would say that's kind of your first step. Good. The next couple of things that I would say would be immediately applicable is start writing like you talk. Nobody gets up in front of you and like says like, oh, we're going to call a banana an elongated yellow fruit. But we write like that a lot of times because we grew up in this era of English classes saying we have to write 4 pages to be able to make our grade and get our point across, when that's not actually the goal, right? We want to try to be as crisp and clear and as concise as possible. And we don't need 4 pages to do that. So it does take more time, but just try to talk to people like you talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, being brief doesn't mean that it's without personality. You can still be fun. You can still be the vibes and the voice of your church and of your senior pastor or senior pastors. You can still do that in a way that is conversational, because people don't want to be talked at. They want to be communicated with. They want that relationship. So just start writing like you would talk to somebody. And then I would say, try to just use as few words as possible. And I think as we often will spend the most time on the first part of anything we're writing, and it's likely we can delete that entirely. So if you were to take a really sharp scalpel to your content, what would you strike out if you had to say this in like, what is the 140 characters or less type of a thing? And you can always give people the option to go deeper, right? Like always give them the ability, hey, want to read more? Here's where all of that is. But make it really clear and easy for people to get to that upfront, because they don't have the time to do that.
That's so good. Okay, wait, I'm going to go back now. This is the bonus to the bonus episode, okay? I'm going to go back now. We were talking about AI a second ago, right? Okay, so I just sat there and I, you know, wasted the last 2 hours and I just wrote this ginormous like email or whatever. Would you recommend throwing that into some sort of AI source, you know, a Claude or something, and saying, make this 350 characters, make this 200 characters or whatever.
So we do this. So you can actually, the models for these AI tools have updated enough to where you can actually say, apply the principles of smart brevity to what I'm about to send you.
Oh,
and it'll
my
do that.
Gosh.
Which is great. It just takes the work out of it for you. I still think we can be even more brief with a lot of the stuff that we get back, but you can absolutely have it do the legwork for you. And you also can, you know, with our blogs specifically, I want our blogs to be 250 words or less. I want them to be in a conversational Spartan tone at a eighth grade reading level. Like that's what I want, because that's who I'm talking to. And so that's the prompt that I give it. And yes, I am going to have to go back through and make sure it's in our voice. Sure. However, I'm taking a lot of the work, the guesswork out of it, and I can have it generate and regenerate, make it shorter, make it shorter, make it shorter. And I do that so often because I really want to see what is the least amount of things I have to say to get my point across.
So good. Oh my gosh, Claire, I could just talk to you for days, but we do try to keep these really short.
It's a bonus episode.
So it's a bonus episode. So you get bonus time talking about words. And listen, I'm a lover of words. As you know, in some of my responses, I love talking. I love writing. I think it's beautiful to get to explain yourself, and there's just a place for it. And I think that if we can, if the church led forward in this way, we've seen industries do this already. Like if the church led forward in this way too, we would begin to earn the right to do ministry in the lives of people when they're not sitting in the auditorium listening to our pastor. They would not tune out our host moments, right? They would be able to be like, oh, cool, I needed to know this about my church. And they filtered the information to make sure that I was actually somebody that needed to hear this. And this is something I can take action on immediately without a lot of effort on my part. Like, that's what we want to try to do. People are so busy right now. There's so many different things vying for our attention. The more we can do to gift them back this extra work and put it on ourselves, we want to try to make that that's where we're putting our attention, right?
It's so good. Yes.
And now if you want to know more about Claire's Smart Brevity Talk, because, or you just want more Claire, because who doesn't want more Claire? Honestly,
all day, every day.
We love Claire.
I'm super fun. I've been trying to convince my kids of that for forever. I'm super fun.
They will
you
learn.
Guys can absolutely check out.
You're definitely a cool mom. So if you want to hear more about Smart Brevity, Claire was actually a guest breakout speaker at our church communications conference back in September. And we actually just released the replay pass for all of our main stage and breakout sessions. Claire's Smart Brevity is included in that. That's the one I'm most excited to go back and watch. Nice. I've been waiting for it to drop.
Because you had a breakout during
that. I had all my breakouts during. So if you want my breakouts on social media, there.
I'll tell you what, you go watch mine. I will go watch yours.
All six
and
of mine.
We'll just trade these.
Yes.
Love
yes.
it. So give advice.
In the show notes is going to have a link to getting a replay pass. Yep. And that is $99 for all of our main sessions and breakout sessions. We have over 56 breakout sessions and a ton of main sessions. So Claire is a part of that as well as myself. So make sure to continue to resource yourself on Smart Brevity. That link is going to be in the show notes for you.
Yep.
Hey, we need to talk.
Thanks for tuning into the Hey, We Need to Talk podcast. We hope today's episode has equipped you with insights and strategies to enhance your church communications efforts.
Remember, we're here every Tuesday with fresh content to keep you up to date on what's happening in church communications. If you found value in today's discussion, we'd love for you to join us again next week by clicking the follow button wherever you listen to podcasts.
And hey, you're a part of this conversation too. So if there's a topic you'd like to talk about, make sure to leave a comment in the episode and on social media.
For more resources or just to set up a call with any one of our team members, head over to churchcommunications.com and check out our free online learning platform, CC Plus, where you can access a wealth of additional resources to support your church communications journey.
We're Zach and Kim, and from all of us here at Church Communications Group, we're looking forward to helping you find clarity, confidence, and connection in your church communications.